Trinity. Good morning. It is good to be with you all this morning. Aren't we blessed as a church with the musicians that we have serving us? Amen. Amen. Well, my name is Aaron Russo. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity, and it is my privilege to welcome you here for worship this morning. If you're here all the time, welcome. It's always good to see you. If you're here for the first time, we're particularly glad that you've joined us. Welcome. If you're watching online, welcome. I'd like to invite everyone to please take a minute during the service to fill out the connection card that you've been handed inside your bulletin, or you can use our app and fill it out, or you can fill it out online. But let us know that you're with us this morning. It's an important way for us to stay connected with one another, and we just appreciate you taking the time to do that. As we begin, I wanted to just share a couple of announcements with you first. We've been all summer long doing this month of missions like we did last year, and it's been great. And each week we've been bringing items to support other ministries, and this morning we're bringing items to complete or fill out some hygiene kits to support United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, which is kind of our connectional version of the American Red Cross, or you can give monetarily at any of the wooden boxes, the mission boxes that you see as you leave today. And then come back after the next service. At the conclusion of this, the 11 o'clock service, we'll be gathering together on the other side of the partition for lunch. Today's lunch is spaghetti and meatballs. And then next week, the month of missions continues with school supplies to benefit the Florida United Methodist Children's Home, and then another lunch to, after the 11 o'clock service. And so it's been a good way to be connected in different ways throughout the summer and support different things. You know, this summer we've also been exploring the letter of Ephesians, this Together series for the sake of the world. And we have a tradition that we participate in every Sunday when we kick off worship here at Trinity. I'd like to do that now and say to you, welcome home. And I'd like to encourage you all to stand and say, you know what? Say to somebody you don't know, it's good to be together with you today. Stand and greet one another. Good to be together with all of you today. If you'll join us in preparing for God's presence. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling part of our breath. We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire will burn our hearts with you. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our breath. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. Standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our breath. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord.
show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our breath. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our breath.
Continue to praise, continue to worship, and let's declare that our love is going to shine out in the world around us.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one.
Gracious God, as the cardinal welcomes the sun to brighten the day, and the earth welcomes the rains to nourish the fields, so may we welcome you this morning. May our worship be an invitation for you to come and brighten our hearts and nourish our souls. In Christ's name we pray. join me in affirming our faith together this morning through the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And we have the joy and privilege this morning of welcoming someone into the membership of Trinity. Erica, come on up. This will not be an unfamiliar face to many of you. Erica Penley has been around Trinity for quite a while now and has been working as a part of Children's Ministries as one of our interns. And Erica is headed off in just a week or so to begin her studies at Bethune-Cookman University, pursuing a major in religion with a concentration in Christian ministry.
I think David Allen might have had something to do with that.
And so she really, before she left, wanted to make official, I guess, if you will, her relationship with Trinity as a member of this congregation. And we are excited to be able to do that today.
So, Erica, I'm going to ask you the historic questions of faith as you come to commit yourself to be a part of ministry through Trinity. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your full trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And according to the grace given you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And now I ask you questions about being a part of the United Methodist Church in Trinity. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen this ministry? And as a member of this congregation, will you participate in this ministry by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
And now there's an opportunity for you all to respond to Erica. I invite you to join in welcoming her. We welcome you into our family of faith.
We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church
to make disciples of Jesus Christ
for the transformation of the world.
And I would love for us to just take a moment and pray for Erica. This is a really special time in not only her life, but in the life of our church, that we have had the privilege of being a part of Erica hearing this sense of calling into ministry and send her off and hope to have her come back, right? Which she has articulated as a desire is to come back and be able to join me in praying a blessing over Erica right now. Oh God, we give you thanks for this young woman and for her servant heart, for you, for the ways in which you have already been leading and guiding her, and for the path that she goes on now. We pray your blessing on all of her studies and her learnings and her growing, and all those whose lives are being touched through her ministry. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks, Erica. Would you join me in welcoming and celebrating this moment? And you're going to see Erica slip out because, guess what? She's a children's ministry intern, so she's headed off to work with our children. But we are grateful. We're going to continue offering prayers as a community of faith now, and you see some names on the screen of persons who are in need of our care and who are receiving care from our congregational care team. Also want you to be aware that Bob Garrigues, longtime, faithful, loving, devoted member of this congregation, passed away this past Wednesday evening. There will be a memorial service to celebrate Bob's life here on August 25th. That's a little ways away, but the family is putting plans in place for a very special gathering and occasion. We'll remind you again before that date gets here, but August 25th will be the celebration of Bob's life. And then there's some folks sitting right over here in this section. I want to invite these guys to stand. Some of our ASP team members, there are 28 youth and adults who are leaving this Saturday, right? Sunday, leaving this coming Sunday, but they'll be leaving before we gather for worship, and so wanted to make sure that you saw them today and had a chance to be praying for them. They are headed to the mountains of Tennessee for a week of home repair ministry and building relationships with persons in the Appalachian Mountain, and we pray God's blessings on you all as you go, and can't wait to hear about the experiences that you encounter there. So thank you, and prayers for you guys. And certainly there are things that you bring with you, things that are on your heart, perhaps some concerns, perhaps some celebrations that you want to offer up to God this morning. So I'll invite us into a moment of silence. God, as we offer up our prayers, we begin with praise. Praise to you who is above all and in all and through all. Praise to you who causes the sun to rise at the beginning of the day and to set at the end. Praise to you for the glory of your creation, all things made, all wonders of this world, including even us, your children, created in your image, to bear witness in a world that needs visible signs of the presence of your love. Indeed, our prayer this morning is that the world would know us by our love, that in word and moments taken to care for one who is hurting or is in despair or struggling, that we might be a part of extending grace and mercy, kindness and compassion to other members of your family and ours. So, God, at the outset of another week, pray to have your eyes, your heart for your children. And we pray that you would bind us together in our efforts so that even in the midst of great differences and diversity, we would present a picture of unity. One that is grounded in our shared life in Jesus Christ. He is the one who has shown us the way of love and obedience, the one who has set for us the example, and the one who has taught us even how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. It is good to come together into this place, and it is good to be a community that is sending people out into the world in service and mission. We just a few moments ago celebrated Erica Penley's calling and where that is leading her. And Trinity, part of that is because of you, because of the kind of community that you have offered her and the opportunity to be an intern on staff here. That happens because of your kindness and your generosity, as do so many other ministries that are part of this congregation. And so each week as a part of worship, we have the opportunity to bring gifts that can be a way of participating in those kinds of life-changing events. So would you pray with me over those gifts today? Oh God, we thank you for all that you have given us and for that which we return in thanksgiving and celebration to you today. May we see with eyes wide open how you can use what we offer together to impact the world around us and to be a part of bringing the kingdom on earth.
Is in you alone, and not shame in your mighty name, and not peace in the darkest day remains, Jesus.
know, for the last several weeks, we've been looking at the letter to the Ephesians, and today we get to the point where the rubber really meets the road as we begin to look at specifics. You know, the first three chapters kind of laid the foundation and reminded us that we are loved by God and we are chosen by God, and that God wants the dividing walls between us to come down. And then remember, part of chapter three is what we call the hinge, and we go from this theology to the ethics and to how we're supposed to live out our faith. And last week, Steve talked about unity and God's desire for the church to live in unity. And then now today, we get down to the details of the practical stuff, the details of how we are called to live. Today we learn what God's plan for us looks like, and we get a snapshot. You know, I don't mind that at all. I'm so glad we have little ones in worship and that we are a church with lots of little ones. That doesn't bother me. I used to say, you know, I don't hear anybody's babies, but if my child made a move, threw me off. Today we get down to looking at God's specific plan for us, God's plan for us and how God wants to live that out, how we are to live out our faith in our everyday, ordinary, walking around lives, in our towns and in our cities, in our workplaces and in our neighborhoods, in every bit of our lives. Now, in the verses right before what I'm going to read this morning, we are told to take off our old self, to take off our old dirty clothes, if you will, and to put on our new self, to be clothed in the likeness of God in which we are made. And then this passage begins with the word, so then. So again, it's kind of a way for us to have a wake-up call. Okay, so now it's time for you to wake up and pay attention. So then, this is what you do. So I invite you to follow along as we read from that fourth chapter of Ephesians. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. That doesn't really mean be angry, but if you are angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to share something with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. So let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you in receiving it. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As parents, most of us realize that our children watch everything we do and say. And so we try to pay special attention to what we do in front of our kids and what we say and how we say it, because they are like little sponges and they imitate everything that we do. Now, this was made ever more clear to us when Shelby was a toddler, when our daughter Shelby was just a toddler. And it was the three of us, and then we had two dogs who were a part of the family as well. And one of those dogs was really a rascal. I mean, he would kind of surf the counter and the kitchen table, and he could swallow a sandwich whole if you gave him just a second. And he liked to share Shelby's toys with her, and her stuffed animals could be demolished in a matter of seconds. So one night we were sitting at the dinner table together. Well, I should say that whenever the dogs did this, or particularly Wilson would do this, we would say to Wilson, "Bad dog. Bad dog, Wilson. Bad dog." So one night we're sitting at the dinner table, and Shelby for the first time has a big girl cup instead of a little sippy cup. And yes, you guessed it, she knocked her milk over and it went all over the table and was dripping down in the crack and was coming off the front of the table. And she immediately started whimpering and said, bad dog, Shelby, bad dog. We had to reassure her immediately that it was okay. It was just an accident. And we only say bad dog to the dogs. So it really is okay. You know, our scripture reading for this morning says that we are to be imitators of God. As God's beloved children, we are to be imitators of God and live in love. And that means that we have to pay attention to everything that God is doing. And the author of Ephesians implores us to imitate God. At the end of this passage, again, it says, therefore. And remember last week, Steve said, whenever we get to therefore, we know that we are really getting to the crux of the matter, that this is very important stuff. Well, that's what this says. Therefore, be imitators of God and live in love. And then this whole scripture reading gives us the specifics of how to do that, what that looks like in our lives. So these are the characteristics of Christian living. But just a reminder, these guidelines are not like rules to be checked off or merit badges to be earned, but rather they are the mark of us being Christians and the way of being for those of us who have been baptized, who have new life in Christ. So, four things that we are instructed to do in this passage. The first is, don't lie. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. The author is encouraging us to speak honestly and openly with others. The question for us here is, what is the truth that we are supposed to speak? Speaking the truth to our neighbors, it says, for we are members of one another. So maybe that last part, for we are members of one another, gives us a hint about what kind of truth it is that we are supposed to be speaking. I think the author is calling us to speak truth in ways that lead us toward showing care and concern for one another. Speaking the truth about ourselves. Speaking the truth about a God who loves us and redeems us. You know, there's an example in our own community of kind of that same truth-telling right here. You all may be aware that Newberry will be the first town in Alachua County to engage in truth-telling about its own history of racial injustice and the lynchings that happened there, particularly the lynchings from 1912. You might read more about it, but last week the City Commission began that process of truth and reconciliation to document those lynchings and to have local institutions acknowledge them and move toward healing. Truth telling. Yep. This is where the rubber meets the road. Speak the truth to your neighbors, for we are members of one another. And a word of caution about truth telling. Too often, we use this and other calls for speaking the truth for justification to preach at someone or make sure that they know what we know is the truth. Making oneself judge and jury does not masquerade as the truth. Only God has that role. We do the best to speak the truth to ourselves, of ourselves, about the love of God and about what Christ has done for us and that he gave himself up for us. The second thing that the author tells us to do is, it says, be angry but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, note this doesn't say don't be angry. There are times that Christians should be angry. There are things that we should be angry about. Jesus got mad at the Pharisees when they told him that he couldn't heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus overturned the tables in front of the temple and yelled because he was angry that they were victimizing people and taking advantage of people. It's not that we shouldn't get angry. It's perhaps the kind of things that we should be angry about. We should choose wisely what those things are. A car pulling out in front of us should not rise our tempers to such a level of anger. On the other hand, we should be passionate and even angry about issues of healing and injustice and providing care for the very least among us. And when we get angry, it says we are instructed not to let sin seep in and not to let the sun go down on our anger. Anger uncontrolled or anger buried or pushed down will fester up and will harm not only the other person but also us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9 offers us very wise advice when it says, anger resides in the lap of fools. The key may be that word resides. Anger is meant to be a visitor in us, not a resident in our hearts. The third characteristic of Christian living is this. It says, thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their hands. Now, this one may be a little bit more difficult for us to really wrap our minds around because most of us are probably not thieves, and yet perhaps we should listen carefully to this about working earnestly and honestly to make a living. Maybe, even though pilfering was very common in the first century, because it's not for us today, we should think of this more in terms of our willingness to compromise our own principles for our own advancement, when instead we should work earnestly and honestly. And why? Because for the purpose of being able to be generous to the needy. Generous for an eternal purpose. That is why we do our work. John Wesley's phrase, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, rings very true here. The fourth characteristic is do not speak evil. Or literally it can be translated, do not talk rotten. Do not talk rotten. But only what will build up so that your words may give grace. just love that. So that your words may give grace. So that all that you say will be a blessing to others. How much of what we say would be eliminated if the only things that we said were things that would be a blessing or give grace to another person? You know, there are so many words that we hear and that are spewed every day that are full of bullying and hatred and meanness and vitriol. We see it in the media. We see it on the news. We read it in the letters to the editor. It's all over. Maybe we need to go back to that advice that we received as children. If you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. My grandmother used to say, "Bite your tongue, young lady." How much rotten talk would be eliminated if we just remembered not to say anything, if we couldn't say anything nice? What would it look like if all of our words give grace? Finally, the author pleads for us to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. And why? Because when we don't do those things, when we don't tell the truth, when our anger is out of proportion with the cause of our anger, or when we hold on to anger and give the devil a foothold, when we don't work earnestly and honestly so that we are can be generous with others, and when what comes out of our mouth is rotten, just plain rotten, you know what it does? It grieves. Intimate personal word, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are parents know what that is like when one of our children does something that is not who we know them to be. It grieves us. And in the same way, when we do these things that are not who God knows that we are, the Spirit of God. And then we get to that therefore. This is the crux of the whole matter. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children, and live in love. That really could better be translated to keep on becoming imitators of God. Thank goodness. Keep on becoming imitators of God, beloved children, and live in, comes from the word peripateo, which means to walk around. So in your walking around everyday lives, live in love. That is something that is very difficult to do, I know, when we are walking around in our everyday lives. It is difficult to live in love. It was when Steve and I were sent to Bradenton to do a new church start. We had one child and one on the way, and we had a big dog, and we decided that we would get a larger vehicle, and as well as being a better vehicle for our family, it would be the new church start vehicle. So we bought a Ford Expedition, and it was the church bus, and it hauled the sound equipment, and it had a trailer hitch on the back so that we could pull the trailer. And that was what we drove around town. We also decided that we would use it as a marketing tool. Since it was this big expedition, we would put magnetic signs on either side of the vehicle. And the sign said, Harvest United Methodist Church, becoming a new community of faith. Now, as those signs went on the side of the truck and we started driving around, I quickly learned some lessons. And that is that if you are driving a vehicle that advertises who you are and that you are starting a new church, you had better be the most kind, patient, and generous driver on the road. so I became very aware that, of course, I had to follow all of the rules and regulations so that I would not be stopped on the side of the road with flashing lights for all to see with my signs on the side of the truck. And I couldn't honk angrily at anyone, even if they pulled out right in front of me. And if I was stopped in traffic and there were cars merging in, I had to not only let the first car in, but really the second and the third. I had to be the most kind and generous person on the road. And then I began to think about that in terms of our own life. Driving that vehicle around made me aware that everyone knew exactly who I was. Now, what if we all walked around with signs on our forehead that said, Christian, or that said, I am baptized? If I had a sign on my forehead, would all that I did and all that I said represent well? If you had a sign on your forehead that said, I am baptized, would all that you say and all that you do represent Christ well? But as Christians, we have been baptized into Christ. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, branded, if you will. We are more than a knockoff. We are the real deal. We are sealed as beloved children of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we had better live that way. So, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Forgive one another as God has forgiven you. For you have been branded. You are the property of Jesus Christ. And you had better express branding.
gratefully gather together around this table where the welcome is indeed wide. We gather coming from spaces and places and around our city in this world where we are challenged in our everyday, ordinary, walking around lives to be imitators of God, to give words, to speak words that give grace, to do actions that give grace, to live in love. Those are all things that are counter to the world that we encounter. And so we need to come to this table. We need to gather here together to receive the grace that God has for us so that we might go and give grace and live in love and imitate God. And so we remember that night when Jesus sat at the table with his disciples and he took bread and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven and he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us, your Holy Church, we pray. I'd like to invite those who are going to help us serve communion this morning to please come and make the stations ready. And as they come, let me just say a word about this table. In the United Methodist Church, the welcome is as wide as God makes it. Everyone is welcome at this table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or of any church for that matter. You simply come at the invitation of God to receive the grace that God has for you this morning. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means we tear off a piece of bread, we place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip the bread into the cup to receive the elements together. We ask that you come to the station nearest your section by exiting from the front rows, working our way back, exiting to the left, and returning to the right. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have that available here at the stations in the front. You're invited to come. The table is set. All is ready. All are welcome.
Thank you.
saving me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
Gracious God, we thank you for gathering us together at your table. And having been nourished by your grace, we pray, O God, that we rise more together now than we were when we came in, so that we might go and be imitators of God, to speak words that give grace, to live in love. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
So let's stand and sing our last song. And as we go from here, let's be the real deal. Let's unify our pledge to not talk rotten, but to speak the truth of grace and love to everyone who hears us. Let's be the tie that binds.
Let's be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Together, I want to invite you to take the hand of someone beside you. Join hands with someone. And now, as you go out today, may you go as a walking billboard for Jesus Christ. Be kind to others, be tender-hearted, and forgive others